This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We got stuff to get into, man. NC State last night looked good, right? Wolfpack taking care of business.
Yeah.
45-0. Dave Dorn, every time he's supplied pancakes and syrup on the show, he is undefeated. Just saying. He accomplished everything he wanted last night. Defense looked good. Offense, terrific balance. Only three penalties. Controlled the line of scrimmage. Got a ton of guys' experience. A perfect night for NC State.
I thought that the ability to showcase your run game last night with Ricky Person and Bam Knight both going over 100 yards, I thought the throw game was really good. But I'll say this. We had an expectation level for NC State's defense last night, and I don't care who you're playing, Bug Tussle, Navy pre-flight, or what have you. You throw a shutout to a team from the American last night, defensively, I thought the NC State delivered the goods. I really did. And it wasn't just interceptions. They gave up a 16-yard run on the first play of the game, and then you know what happened after that? I don't think South Florida had a run into double figures the rest of the night until the fourth quarter when folks were watching the ice melt in their soda, you know?
Ice melts in the soda. I don't know if that was soda, Wes, because I think everybody's really relaxed and feeling good up six touchdowns last night. Next week will be the test. Again, Jeff Scott is in a total rebuild mode, and I'm not taking anything away from NC State's accomplishment because, what good teams do to bad teams is what that was last night, 45-0. Next week will be the litmus test game for me. I like where NC State's going. I keep telling you, I think they should have been the preseason top 25. I think they're that good. But next week's the test. On the road against a team that's going to have some athletes.
Okay, but hear me out on this. The defensive effort you showed last night, I think, is a really good bounce going to Mississippi State where you know they're going to throw the football. Now, the Bulldogs of Mike Leach weren't much for tackling last year, okay? Now, whether that's got to do with the way the season was played or not, I have no idea. But that's the kind of defensive momentum that Tony Gibson wants to take to Starkville to play a team that's going to throw it around like Mississippi State will. The other thing I'd say about this is you didn't put too much on Devin Leary's plate last night when you run it with two cats 32 times for 268 yards. If you're able to kind of create any balance offensively and keep throwing that defense out on the field, Pack, that's an awfully good statement early by NC State about what they are as a football team, not just one side of it.
Well, I'll say it again. There will be athletes all over the field next week when you go on the road to take on Mississippi State. I mean, South Florida was 1-8 last year. This is a real rebuild. And I'm not – anytime somebody shuts somebody out, that's exactly what a defense is supposed to do. I thought NC State delivered exactly what you were looking for if you're a Wolfpack fan. Offense, balance, 8 of 13 on third downs, moving chains, controlling the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Only one turnover. You created three. That's a positive thing. The penalties, which Dave Dorn talked about ad nauseum for months and months and months, you only committed three. Total control of the game. Right. Got tons of guys in there to play. Everybody's mama and daddy should have been really happy sitting there in the stands. You know, there's my son out there in the third quarter, absolutely wearing somebody out. So it was a perfect night. And again, I don't know what the injury report is. That would be the most important thing, that you're completely full, ready to go for next week. But next week will be the test when all of a sudden, that's not 1-8 South Florida. That's a SEC team with real athletes. So next week to me is the litmus test for NC State. You pass that test, hey, you are off to the races and down the road we go. I still think NC State should have been the preseason top 25. They've got that kind of talent. Yep. They got that kind of depth. They can play on both sides of the line of scrimmage. It is a well-coached football team, and they're playing with a ton of confidence, not only from what they did in 2020, but already out of the gate with a zero in the loss column and on the scoreboard. So if you're a Wolfpack fan today, life is good. Next week's a real challenge. That'll be a good test.
All right. Let me follow this here then. So we take Carolina, Virginia Tech tonight. We take the ball games on Saturday, Alabama, Miami, and Georgia, Clemson. We take the Sunday night game with Florida State, the Monday night game with Louisville. We're going to move those over here, right? We'll move them over here. So NC State delivers the message you want to see last night. Wake Forest tonight, Syracuse, Duke, schools that are playing. We've already talked about Pitt, BC, Virginia, Georgia Tech. Those are the kinds of games where you want to see the script from last night repeated, correct?
Of course. You want to win the game and look good doing it. And, you know, this non-conference slate, there are certain schools like, and I told you this 2 weeks ago, Syracuse and Duke coming off lousy years, and they'd be the first to admit it, to go on the road to take on teams in Ohio and Charlotte. Those are games you say, hey, we've got to win those games. If for anything else, to just get a sense of, hey, we've worked our tails off. We got through COVID. We went through all the spring, the summer, the fall workouts. Let's get going. Let's get rewarded by playing well and winning a game, right? Last year was tough for everybody, whether you're bringing home the championship like Alabama or you were South Florida, right? Last year was just a tough deal. Those are teams in Duke and Syracuse that need to win on the road tonight and tomorrow, respectively, just to get a sense of, hey, slate's clean, man. We're 1-0. We took care of business and won on the road. Can't wait to get home and see our own fans, especially in Syracuse's case, because nobody's been in the dome. Nobody's even seen the new dome for the most part. So all these games are important, Wes. Obviously, you get the conference game tonight with North Carolina and Virginia Tech, which is critical in every sense of the word. But these games that are not Clemson, Georgia, or Miami, Alabama, they are important. The teams need to get off to a good start.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And I think that's what we saw last night from the Wolfpack. And let's see and hope that it buoys road effort tonight from Duke. Tomorrow night, certainly for Syracuse at Ohio. Wake Forest tonight at home. That's a ball game that starts at 7 o'clock here on ACC Network. Follows a 6 o'clock, one-hour ramp-up of the huddle before Drew Carter and crew get you going from Truist Field tonight in Winston-Salem with Wake Forest and Old Dominion. Final note here on NC State. First shutout of an FBS school since they beat Kent State 30 years ago. 30, Pack, years ago.
Kent State, Wes. Again, I'm not trying to downplay the importance, but it's Kent State. South Florida. I mean, I expect NC State to beat those teams and do whatever they want with them. And they did last night. And like I said, that's what good teams do. I thought NC State is a top 25 team. They may be even a lot better than that. But last night, they did nothing more than confirm what I thought. That's a good club.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. First time also in nearly 6 years, the Wolfpacks had multiple 100-yard rushers in the same game. The person-night combination last night, you talk about things you want to see if you're a Wolfpack fan, that had to be something right there that really caught your eye, because you thought Bam Knight was capable of having a big year, and he had a career-high 163 last night on 16 carries. But to get Ricky Person to be Ricky Person early last night, by the way, seems like he's been there a decade, doesn't it? He looked really, really good, and that's a real, real good development for Tim Beck if they can keep that combination going.
One of the things we talked about yesterday with Coach and just general conversation is the cool thing about NC State, and this is when you know you've got a good-looking program, is when you have a grouping of players in one particular room. And NC State's got a number of rooms where you walk in, your linebacker room, your running back room, both offensive and defensive lines. You got players. You have depth. One of the things Dave Dorn talked about yesterday on the show was, you know what, I really like the depth of this team. You know, they play well together. They like each other. They've worked their tails off. And, again, I go back to what happened in 2019 at the tail end of that season when they went through just a horrific run of injuries. And they just did not have enough warm bodies that they could put out and compete. And you know what? It was ugly. They had some ugly games, and I know the fans are bummed out, but you know what? In some respects, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because now that's going to pay dividends. You saw it last year with a terrific year, and NC State's looking to build upon it. You've got a lot of guys with experience in almost every phase of your football team, and you saw it last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew about Bam Knight. He doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He's a star. Guy's a player. But when all of a sudden, you know, Person goes for .105, and let me tell you something, they got more guys that can handle the rock. We want to play one more quarter, they'd add another guy over 100 yards. So NC State is a team to pay attention to I know about Clemson. We know about North Carolina and Miami. They get a chance to prove their worth. But I keep telling you, that cluster of three, Pitt, BC, NC State, I think are worthy of being ranked and on a consistent basis this year. We'll see how it plays out.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Brian Simmons coming up here in about 15 minutes. We look forward to having him back on the program. His thoughts on North Carolina and Virginia Tech. Yesterday afternoon was a busy, busy day on off campus. Commissioner Pac-12, Holly Rowe, and this guy. That'd be Dabo Swinney. He joined me. And I told Coach, man, when I was back in school 100 years ago, man, these Clemson, Georgia games, old Danny Ford, very, very, very fine youngster people. And Vince, man, I tell you what, man, Clemson, Georgia in the 80s was great, but this game coming up on Saturday night kind of feels like the good old days again.
Yeah, it really does. And both teams are you know, built in the trenches, and it's exciting. You know, this is one of those games that you hear about all the time from the fan base, and I'm sure it's the same with Georgia fans. Just as you said, because of all the history that both teams have had with each other, a lot of close games, especially back in those 80s. And it's actually a game I grew up watching. You know, it's just, I think, a natural rivalry, you know, the proximity and so forth. So, you know, it's fun. And then you throw in the fact that it's a top five matchup, and, you know, it's only happened four times in the last 21 years in college football to have an opening game with a top five matchup. And so it's a rare, not only is it Clemson, Georgia, but it's rare to have a matchup like this. You know, this is usually a postseason type matchup. So it's just a great opportunity for both teams. And I know one that both teams are excited about and getting out there and kind of finding out where we are and what we got to do to keep rolling forward.
You're right about that. The last time Georgia lost a season opener, it was to you guys in Death Valley in 2013. Last time you lost an opener was Between the Hedges in 14. So, again, incredible games, great rival, respect on both sides. You just got to love everything about this. You know, I saw Kirk Herbstreit had mentioned earlier this week that he thought the winner of this game will be the team that is the most physical. It's hard to argue against that, isn't it, given the quality of both sides?
Well, I think that's part of it. Certainly, this is going to be an incredibly physical game. Tackling's going to be at a premium, especially when you've got, you know, elite backs, elite skill players on both sides, and you've got two teams that haven't really tackled a whole lot in a year. You know, we have there's only so much you can do in practice. We're limited to two scrimmages, so you know, tackling will be at a premium. Certainly, the physicality. But I think you know, playing a clean game, you know, just taking care of the ball, making the critical adjustments in this game and the communication, because there's a lot of unknowns. That's, you got to understand, you're both teams are preparing for, based on everything from last year, and so many of the personnel is different. And you just kind of assume you got more time as a coaching staff to prepare. So that gives coaches a lot more time to game plan and so forth. So I think the adjustments in the game, and settling into the game is a key part of this one as well. But certainly it's going to start with, you know, the physicality in the trenches. I think there'll be some wins and losses on both sides, but who can come out on top of that battle, kind of sets the tone for everything else.
You know, people try to run against Georgia, but, man, you said this week, they're massive and they just are designed to eliminate you thinking about running the football. But you got to keep everybody honest, right? I mean, you can't just abandon the guy. You know, all right, nobody runs against them, so we're just going to throw it 95 times. You got to be able to at least attempt to establish the run at some point in time.
Yeah, no, yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that's just how they're built. It's how they've recruited. I mean, they're massive. You know, they support the run. They challenge you outside. They force you to have to, you know, go make plays in the passing game. And, you know, you look, nobody ran the ball on them last year. Alabama didn't run the ball on them last year. I think they had 3 yards of carry, and most of that was because of what they did late in the game once the score kind of got away. But, you know, they're just incredibly stout. And, again, you have to make some plays in the passing game to be effective against this bunch. But a lot of that comes with, you know, not abandoning the run. You have to just, I think, being effective is you know, what's at a premium in this type of game. We've got to be effective. We've got to keep them off balance. We got to take care of the ball. You know, this is the type of game where there's nothing wrong with a punt because you got two really strong defenses and creating good field position and then taking advantage of the opportunities when they present themselves. So, you know, it's definitely a game where again, the margin for error is small and will probably come down to a few plays.
I know you're not going to say anything till Saturday as far as who's available and so forth, but the general health of your football team is what as we get ready for this league?
Good. It's good. It's good. You know, we're a lot better than we were last year, I can tell you that. you know, I didn't have Justin Ross last year, and we didn't have a bunch of those ends last year, and so we've got more guys, you know, capable of playing all across the team than we had this time last year, and we still all have challenges, but we're not dealing with quite the same level of challenges that we had last year. So I'm thankful for the health of the team, where we are, and excited to see them play.
I know everybody's talked about, all right, could Clemson's offensive line figure out a way to run the football some. I sense that in some respects this is kind of a mirror image game, isn't it? I mean, Georgia is going to look at you guys and go, man, they got speed everywhere. And Kirby this week was talking about the secondary. Man, he's been watching tape for 5 years, and these guys are still hanging around. It's been interesting to hear your comments and Kirby Smart's comments this week talking about the other guy. It's kind of funny. Again, I know you guys recruit against each other, and again, they've done a great job recruiting, got a great program, as you pointed out. But it's kind of neat to hear two coaches kind of admire the work of the other guy.
Well, there's a reason why both teams are ranked, you know, in the top five. I mean, what both teams have been able to do in the past certainly kind of gives you some credibility. But then, you know, just the knowledge of the roster and what guys have done in the past, all that stuff, and none of that really matters because you got to go, you know, do it. But I think there's a healthy respect for what we've seen on tape. I mean, these are, again, two really good teams, and I think from an offensive perspective, both teams have similar challenges. I mean, these are two great defenses, and you know, there's going to be some wins and some losses throughout the game. There's going to be some good plays, and you know, the biggest thing is not beating yourself. You know, being the least penalized team, you know, being able to apply our system to what we see, again, making the right adjustments, you know, making a difference in special teams in the game. I think that's a critical part in the game within the game, the field position. All of those things are huge in a game like this. And then big plays and who can win those battles. So I think game knows game. And both these teams are really, really good. And I think that's what drives the amount of interest that we have right now. It's not just Clemson, Georgia. Everybody'd be excited for Clemson, Georgia if we were both, you know, ranked 25 and 24. But then you throw in the fact that, again, these are two national championship caliber type teams, just, you know, adds another edge to it.
No doubt about that. Well, listen, I know you're busy. Going to be some kind of scene in the Queen City on Saturday night. Wish you nothing but the best. We'll touch base next week.
Hi, Pat. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, that'll be a big one tomorrow night, don't you think? We've been talking about that. We've been talking about this game, it seems like, forever. And, you know, not only is it going to be a great scene tomorrow in Charlotte, but there's a number of Clemson, Georgia games on the docket for the rest of this decade. Mm-hmm. And I applaud both athletic departments by going, guess what? This is one of those kind of games fans love. And for folks of my generation that remember those 11 years of Georgia and Clemson and Between the Hedges and in Death Valley, man, they just played incredible games. In fact, that 11-game stretch, I think it was 5-5-1. And, you know, for every Butler 60-yard field goal at the buzzer, if you will, Treadwell made one from 46. I mean, they just had incredible games. And the potential of this one tomorrow is up there. But now we'll see how this thing plays out like everything else. You never know what you're going to get when a top five matchup. But, man, I just love the fact that these two are playing.
All right, let's do something here, too, to tie up our summer notes, right, with this game. You're right, we've been talking about Georgia-Clemson all year. Why? Because it's the marquee game in week one of college football. Well, let's go back to the business of college football from the summer. What's encouraging about the future of college football? We're going to get a lot more of these, and maybe even a lot more often. That would be one of the things about the down the road in football park, pack that I'm really excited about is the ability to see these type games on a regular basis, not just every once in a while, right?
Yeah, and listen, the ACC and the SEC have done a good job scheduling games. There's always been a relationship between the two leagues and scheduling from a football perspective. That's why I think there was so much buzz about the alliance and scheduling, even though everybody wants it to happen overnight. That will take time. But just the potential that the alliance can form relationships with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, games you normally never see. And we're talking about now high-profile games like a Clemson-Georgia top five. But, you know, there was a cool stat by ESPN that this is the 10th top five game. Only three of the previous nine have been determined by one score or less. And the last time we got a top five matchup in the regular season like this that was determined by a score or less was back in 2004 with Miami and Florida State. So we give you all the hype, the anticipation, fan bases, great programs, all that stuff. But, you know, we may come in here on Monday and go, man, 38-17, saw that coming. Who knows? But we were going to be watching, though, on Saturday night. It's just a great, great matchup, Great matchup.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, Friday edition.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's
what kind of show we got going here today, Pack? You know, we got games last night, NC State a winner, Arizona State a winner. That's always important on this show because of our producer, one half of the Lumberjacks, Drew Brooks. Arizona State got a win, so we're able to, you know, Drew's able to work today. That's good. We got all these games tonight, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you know, that kind of deal. Well, what do we got going on here? It's everywhere, isn't it?
Well, I said this week, college football fans have been waiting for the start date. And no disrespect to folks that play in week zero. But here on this channel, in our world of the Atlantic Coast Conference, it was all about week one. And you get five consecutive nights of ACC football. And NC State did the job last night, looked the part. Disposing of South Florida, 45-0, and North Carolina, Virginia Tech is really the main attraction tonight. No disrespect to Wake Forest taking care of business against Old Dominion and Charlotte and Duke getting after it. But, man, we got ourselves a conference game of note tonight. And this is a big deal in Blacksburg. And so let's bring back old Brian Simmons to get his perspective. We talked to Andy Bitter from a Virginia Tech side, and now we got Brian on board. Brian, it's go time for your Heels tonight, man. This is no joke. This is going to be some kind of scene in a big-time game.
Absolutely, and this is the kind of game that you want to start the season off with, right? For me, if you're a player and you go into Virginia Tech, you already understand what kind of environment it's going to be. You respect Virginia Tech as a football team, and you have something all summer to work for. And, Wes, you know Coach Brown and the way he motivates kids. I'm sure this summer they got tired of hearing about the UVA game and the Florida State game last year. So if they get beat tonight, it won't be because they're not prepared. It'll be because Virginia Tech is a better team.
Well, and here's the funny thing about that, Brian. It's almost like now it went from the field during the spring and certainly in the off season. It's now gotten to the media because I noticed this week twice he chose to refer to Florida State and Virginia more than referring to beating NC State, beating Virginia Tech, beating Duke, doing the things that otherwise he might want to talk about. This is almost like a throwback to when it was you and Kay Mays and those guys. He was ready to talk about the games that didn't end well as opposed to the ones that did end well. So I know you know that feeling.
Absolutely. And for him, it's about the situation, understanding that, listen, if we're going to be a good football team, if we want to try to crack into this top 10 consistently, we have to be able to go into Virginia Tech. We have to be able to go into Florida State, up to UVA, and get those wins. You're expected to win at home, but if you want to be a good football team and a good program, you got to be able to travel.
Brian, I think it's interesting that everybody's talking about Sam Howell, Heisman, North Carolina hype. What's going to do? What are you going to do at the perimeter to replace those guys? What are you going to do with the backfield? But you know what? I'm going to take you to the other side, because what I'm really curious to watch tonight is the improvement on the defensive side, because Sam Howell will find guys to throw it to. North Carolina will find guys to hand off to behind that offensive line. But if North Carolina is going to go from, hey, we feel pretty good about winning 8-9 a year, whatever the case, how do we get to double digits? How do you get to Charlotte? How do you win titles? How do you get in the college football playoff? You do it by knocking people sideways on the defensive side and stopping people. I know it's an offensive game, but I still think at the end of the day, you've got to tackle somebody to win a championship.
Pat, you're dead on. I mean, I've been saying that to anybody who will listen. This year is going to come down to how well and how consistently the defense can play. We've seen this defense play really well for a half. We've seen them play good for a game. Now, if you want to win the ACC, you have to start stringing together really good games. And here's the key. There can't be a lot of space in between your best game and your worst game.
Yeah.
And last year, unfortunately for this team, it was a lot of space there. If you look at the really good teams, the day they go out and they have really good games, they're really high. And then the games where they don't have good games, that space is not that far. So Carolina has to close that gap, and that is where the consistency lays.
And Brian, I want to follow up real quick, Wes. I just want to follow up. And Brian, isn't that why you hear the best teams and their coaches in the country talk about, we got to take care of us, right? That's where that all comes down to. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. It may be the number two ranked team in the country. It may be dog-ate-my-homework.com bowl guy over there. You know, if we take care of who we are supposed to be, you know what? We're going to be just fine. And you hear coaches say that a lot, but that's what you're talking about, that, hey, everybody on their A day, hey, they're all right. But you know what? When you have that C-minus day, that gap's got to be pretty doggone close, right, where the excellence on and consistency is across the board with your football program.
No question. And I heard Wes say, you know, I am the color analyst for Carolina, but I won't be calling tonight's game because I'm also a high school coach, and we have a game tonight. So that is what I preach to our kids. Every week, our opponent is ourselves, and we have to practice that way. And if we take care of ourselves, we go out there and you have a chance to win. Doesn't mean you're going to win every football game, but I tell them, listen, if we lose, let it be because the other team on the other sideline was better than us today.
All right, we're going to get the scouting report on Windermere Prep and their task tonight here before we're done. I promise we're going to get a little love for Windermere before you're out of here. But, all right, I want to go defense personnel-wise. It's been interesting. Jeremiah Gimmel gets a lot of notoriety for the experience. Roddy Jones believes Ray Vlahovic is one of the most underrated guys in the league. How much tonight is about the consistency of Eugene Asante against what Virginia Tech does? How much tonight's about Tony Grimes or Day-Day Hollins or some of these guys that are still relatively young in the secondary, Brian?
It is, and really it's about all those guys. I mean, because, and I agree, Ray Vlahovic is a good player. When you turn the tape on, if you look at the stat sheet, he may not always jump off the stat sheet, but when you turn that tape on, this kid plays with a motor. He's strong. He's explosive. He's everything that you want out of an interior defensive lineman. And then, obviously, Gimmel is a really good football player. I love the way he plays. He plays with so much energy. He has great leadership. But it's about all of them. And what Carolina wants to do, they want to play a lot of guys. They're going to play three or four guys at the corner position. They're going to play three or four guys at the safety position. And Eugene Asante will have those splash plays, but he has to be consistent when he's not making big plays. And he has the ability to make some really big plays. Now it has to be with consistency. And also, you got to be patient with the kid. He's only started one game, so he still has a lot of football in front of him. But he's a very talented kid.
Brian, handling the noise and the hype, right? I mean, you never know how teams handle this, right? Especially ones that have not been there in a while. And North Carolina, for the first time since 97, has been hearing about how good they are. This is a program on the fast track. Keep an eye on them, all that stuff. At what point in time do you know as a football player and on a team that, you know what, we don't hear noise? You know, I don't care what these talking heads on ESPN or ACC Network are saying. We know who we are in this locker room. When does that hit a football team? And because I know you've played on some, when you've seen it go the other way, where everybody thinks, hey, you know what? We're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And next thing you know, you're 6-5 going to that dogatemyhomework.com bowl. I mean, it's a thin line how you handle all that stuff.
Yeah, Pat, you keep referring to that bowl game. I've been missing that one. I got to catch that one.
Good. Hey, that's a good thing. You don't want to be in that game.
It's a good thing not to know that game.
Yeah, you don't want that game.
Hey,
no.
But to your question, that's the great thing about this year, because they have last year where they were the greatest thing rolling into Tallahassee, and we understand what happened that game.
Yeah.
So they have the lesson learned from last season. And right now, I don't think they're there. I mean, I think they're locked in. I think they're prepared. They understand how good they can be, but the can only comes if you put in the work. And I think those guys have been working all summer, all spring, and they'll be prepared. And if they lose, it won't be because they walked in the building thinking they were going to win the football game. It was going to be because Virginia Tech played a better game tonight, which I don't think is going to happen.
All right, Brian, here's the one thing I will ask about the offense, and so much of it is Sam Howell and no Michael Carter, no Javonte Williams, no Newsom, no De'Ami Brown. Behind Ty Chandler is a young back named Caleb Hood. Caleb Hood was a high school quarterback. The reports I've gotten is Caleb Hood looks really, really good. How much Caleb Hood do you think we get on this stage tonight in Blacksburg?
Yeah, Wes, you know, Caleb Hood, obviously his dad played with me. Earl Hood was a defensive back when we were at Carolina. And you say right now Caleb Hood is behind Tyler Chandler. You won't be saying that for a long time, I promise you. This guy is big. He's got good feet. He's explosive. He's strong. I think before it's all said and done, he'll be getting the bulk of the carries, and he'll have a very good career at North Carolina. I love the kid. Just a little bit I've seen from him. I'd be surprised if we go, you know, 4 or 5 games in and he's not the starter.
Brian, you said that you have confidence that North Carolina wins this game. Tomorrow morning, when everybody gets out of bed, if they didn't see the game for whatever reason, I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you didn't see the game, are we talking about North Carolina more on the defensive side or because of offense?
That's a good question, Pat. I think if they win the football game, it's a good question, but then when you think about it, I think it's a fairly easy question, right? Because our expectations of the offense is what? For them to score 30, 35 points?
Right.
So I think if they go out and they score 30, 35 points, we're going to just say, hey, that's what's supposed to have happened, right? So I think the pressure is on the defense. You don't want to get into a game like last year where the scoreboard – had a glitch because it was too many points was being put up. And you definitely don't want a 6 overtime game like 2 years ago. And I think if Carolina wins this football game, it will be because of the defense.
Well, I tell you what, if we go 6 overtimes tonight, that will be the headline because we've changed the damn rules, Brian. If we go 6, we got ourselves a serious – we got a real problem in this league if we go 6
no
OT
question.
Tonight.
No question. Hey, let me say this about the game too, though. If you ask me if Carolina loses, it will be because early on they did not match the intensity and they let something get away from them. What they can't do early on in the game is give up some kind of return, whether it's an interception return, whether it's a punt return, a kickoff return. They have to be solid at the beginning of the game, first half. They may be down 3 points or a touchdown, but what they can't do is early on because of the emotion and you understand what that crowd is going to be like and how Virginia Tech is going to be up. You got to keep it close and then allow the second half where the better team will win.
All right, one more thing for me. And I wanted to go with the emotion because it is going to be electric at 6 p.m. tonight in Blacksburg, Virginia. As a player.
At 4 o'clock, probably.
Well, that was on Tuesday. By the way, for a Tuesday, they were ready to roll in Blacksburg. They've been waiting on you guys for a while. I want you to go back now to your prime as a player. Did you enjoy having the crowd with you or against you more as a player?
I mean, obviously you would rather be at home, but I think in terms of getting you up and motivating you, I think it's equal because there's no better feeling than to walk into a hostile environment where it's, you know, 60, 70,000 people, and you just make play after play after play, And then by the third quarter, you see them turning. You see the backs of all the fans, and the stadium gets quiet. So I think equally it's motivating. Obviously, you'd rather be at home with a rowdy crowd. But when you're on the road, it's a lot easier to get your players' attention when they understand the kind of team they're playing against and the kind of environment they're walking into. I can guarantee you Coach Brown didn't have to convince these guys that we need to be up for this game. If you're not up for this game as a player, you need to check your ticker.
Like it.
Yeah. All right. So give us the scouting report. Who are the Lakers getting after tonight? Windermere Preps, who are they going to beat tonight?
Well, we play a team called the First Academy, and if you're thinking about college football, it would be the version of Navy, Army, and old Georgia Tech. So, you know, a little wing, a little double T action. So I told our guys, listen, that this week in practice, it wasn't a lot of running around. And I said, listen, I want your legs on Friday. And on Monday, I told them, go ahead and make your mind up right now that we're going to play a physical football game, because the team that's willing to tackle the longest and hit the hardest is going to win tonight.
Man, it's go time. Simmons is ready to go right now, man. He got that look in his eye. I can see it from here. He's ready to go hit somebody right now.
I'm ready to coach. Hey, I didn't spend 8 years with Paul Johnson for nothing, so here's a little tip from Durham tonight, okay? I mean, I know a little bit about the offense. Let me just tell you this. You better hope the offensive coordinator over there doesn't change the pitch key. Be careful the coordinator on the other side finds out who your pitch key guy is, and all of a sudden you start running a 3 or a 1 technique down there. He's going to change the pitch key, and Roddy Jones will tell you, when you change the pitch key, then you're playing against cones on defense. That's all you're doing, because they've lined up the wrong way for you.
Well, luckily for this team, they don't have the option version of it, so it's more of, you know, the dive and that. So they don't have a running quarterback, so that saves us a little bit. But you got to give different looks on the front without trying to be too confusing for your kids. But when you play a team like this, ultimately it's about getting off of blocks and making tackles.
Good luck tonight, Coach.
I'm taking Windermere big tonight, Coach. I'm taking Windermere big. There we go. Thanks, Brian. Great to see you. All right,
man. Thank you, guys. Always great to be on with you.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Welcome back. Football Friday edition of Packer and Durham. I've been waiting to say this for about 3.5 months. You ready? The Bojangles weekend menu, Pack.
I've been ready to say this for about 20 minutes. Chester Fuller and I will beat Bojangles in 7 minutes.
All right, starts tonight. Old Dominion at Wake Forest. Drew Carter, Forrest Conley, Abby LaBarre will have coverage following a 6 o'clock edition of The Huddle. Saturday. Triple-header football. Huddle starts at 11, Colgate BC at noon, UMass at Pittsburgh, 4 o'clock. Roddy Jones, after that thriller last night with Boise and UCF, better have his game legs ready. And then Northern Illinois at Georgia Tech, 7:30 from the corner of Techwood and Bobby Dodd in Midtown Atlanta under the lights. And then Sunday, we told you, great field hockey on ACC Network. Noon, you get Towson and number 8 Virginia, and then Maryland and Duke in a top 12 matchup at 2 o'clock Eastern. That is the Bojangles weekend menu. We're getting what are we getting today? Chicken, egg, and cheese? What are we doing?
Chicken, egg, and cheese. No, we are not getting chicken, egg, and cheese. But I may go back to your traditional chicken biscuit or two through the drive-thru. And, of course, Chester and Fuller always get the same thing. Plain biscuit, no butter. No butter for the dogs.
Butter
is terrible for the dogs. The biscuit, awesome. But that'll be the go-to. 10:05.
How about the stir-fried noodles they eat on occasion? How are the stir-fried noodles that they're fed on occasion? Or the Cheerios or the peanut butter crackers? How's that?
We had Cheerios. Actually, to be honest with you, we actually had some Cheerios this morning, and I put some peanut butter on some English muffins, about 4.
Good. There we go.
And they like that. Yeah. They love that peanut butter.
Yeah, I bet. All right. We have told you in the past and shown you scholarship videos where walk-ons are put on scholarship for the year, for the semester with a football program. Well, at Virginia, of course, they do this method of awarding numbers for effort and things of that nature. And it goes all the way up to the opener. because the other day, Bronco Mendenhall was handing out numbers, and it was Joe Connor's time.
There you go. One of my favorite things to do. All right, next. Amazing, amazing story here. Not one thing easy, but daily, the right attitude, the right mindset, the right commitment, the right sacrifice, paying for grad school, Joe Comer.
That
Joe right Comer, there. Congratulations. Yep.
You know, that's
transfer
why,
from Louisville. We'll play Saturday night.
That's why being a part of a team, you can't not put a price tag on it. It's so important to be part of a team. Something as like that captures the essence of why you want to be a part of something, right? It's really great. I love those things. I know you do too. Good stuff.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.